All right, today's message is called Sanctification Part 1. How many of you were here last week when I told you we were going to talk about sanctification? And how many of you left here going, "Whoo! I can't wait till next week. He's going to start talking about sanctification." The rest of you, I'll be praying for you. But before we dive down deep into this, last week I went over some terms that some people not quite familiar with or sure about, and one of those terms was justification. And I think we need to understand thoroughly the difference between justification and sanctification. Justification, if you have your Bibles with you, open up to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Justification, it says, "Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because the works of the law, no one will be justified." The word in the Hebrew is dikaiano, dikaiao, and it means to render righteous, to declare, to pronounce one to be just, righteous, or such as he ought to be. When we are justified through faith, through the grace that God has given us, God sees Jesus and his sinlessness and his righteousness in our place. We are justified not because of what we have done, but because of what he has already done. And when we accept that payment, when we accept the blood of the Lamb, we are now justified in God's sight. We are now saved. That's what salvation is. It is justification in God's eyes when we accept the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. That is justification. Justification, we have nothing to do with it. We cannot earn justification. It is an announcement. It is a declaration by God saying, "You are justified. You are no longer guilty because someone has covered the penalty and the payment for your guilt. You are innocent, not based on what you have done, but based on faith of what he has already done." All right? There's a big difference between justification and what we are going to start into now, sanctification. Sanctification in the Old Testament, if you are familiar with the NIV, and that's the one that I just read on my own when I study different versions. Today, I'm going to give you some different versions, because in the Old Testament, the NIV does not use the word sanctify. It uses the term make holy. So I'm going to be teaching out of, in this Old Testament section, out of the New King James Version. So if you want to flip to that or whatever, you can do that. But in the Hebrew, sanctification, or to sanctify, was the Hebrew word kadosh. Kadosh. And it meant to consecrate, to sanctify, to prepare, to dedicate, be hallowed, be holy, be sanctified, be separate, and to be set apart. And we're going to take a look at a few things, because when you say sanctification or sanctify, there are many different aspects to sanctification. And we're going to look first in the Old Testament, and then we're going to look at the same term in the New Testament. Leviticus chapter 22, verses 15 and 16 in the New King James. It says, "They shall not profane the holy offerings of the children of Israel," and he's talking about the priests, "which they offer to the Lord, or allow them to bear the guilt of trespass when they eat their holy offerings. For I, the Lord, sanctify them." So when people brought their offerings, their wave offerings, they brought grain, they brought animals, they brought all these different sacrifices, and they offered them up to God. God then sanctified those gifts and those offerings. He says, "These have been set aside, they've been set apart, they are now holy, because I have declared that they are holy." So one of the things of sanctification is that God sanctified the offerings. Now, there were times when they brought offerings that were not sanctified. If they brought an animal with a defect, God would not accept that sacrifice. So the penalty still remained on that person. So he sanctified, he set those things apart. Even though the people were bringing those offerings, he is the one that declared this is acceptable or this is not. This is sanctified, this is set apart, this is now holy, this is mine. Or he rejected that. So he sanctified the offerings. In Leviticus 21, verse 15, in the New King James, nor shall he, and he's talking about the priest, nor shall he profane his prosperity among his people, for I, the Lord, sanctify him. So we see that God not only sanctified the offerings on the altar, but he also sanctified the priests. He made them go through all of these rituals, cleansing themselves, consecrating themselves. They had to do it just the way that God declared that he wanted it done. Sometimes they didn't do it and they died. So it says that he actually sanctifies, he consecrates, he makes holy the priests, and he set them apart. Only the priests could serve in the temple. Only the high priest could once a year go into the Holy of Holies. Everyone else would die. So when they come to him and God says, yes, I am setting you apart. Moses said, I'm choosing the Levites for myself. They are the ones that are going to take care of the temple. They are the ones that are going to be the priests. They are going to be the mediators between me and my people. And he sanctified them for that holy work. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 28. The nation also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. God actually sanctified, set apart an entire nation of people. And he says, you will be my people and I will be your God. He chose them for himself, sanctified them. He set them apart. So we see different aspects of sanctification in the Old Testament. We see where God sanctified things. He sanctified priests. He sanctified an entire nation. Does that mean that everything that he declared sanctified actually acted out the sanctification? No. You want to read some of the, you should read about some of the priests and their sons. Read about Eli and his sons. Just because God set them apart does not mean that they acted in that holiness. And so we see a different part of sanctification. And before we look at it, we're going to go to Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. And it says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So here we see God telling the leader to tell the people, you need to sanctify yourselves. You need to purify yourselves. You need to make yourselves holy. And there were certain things that they had to do in this sanctification process. So we see in sanctification in the Old Testament, at least, we see God at work sanctifying, and we see the people being required to do their part as well. It was not just a sit back and, ooh, I'm sanctified, I can do whatever I want sort of thing now. No, God gave them laws, rules, and regulations that they had to do and put it on their shoulders. They could choose to do that whether they wanted to or not. But God was clear. It says, I sanctify the offerings, I sanctify the priests, I sanctify the nation. But then they also said, you need to sanctify yourselves. So now we're going to move into the New Testament. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is hagiazo, and it means to separate from profane things and to dedicate to God, or to dedicate people to God, or to purify. So we see the two-pronged aspect of sanctification in the New Testament too. And we're going to take a look at John chapter 17, verses 15 through 20. And now I'm going back to the NIV. It says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. And this is Jesus praying to his Father. It is not my prayer that you take them out of the world, and he's talking about his disciples, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may truly be sanctified. And my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So here's Jesus praying to his Father right before his death for his disciples, but not just for them. He's also praying for believers who would follow. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have accepted his gift, Jesus is praying for you in the garden. He mentions you in his prayers. In verse 17, it says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. He says, sanctify them by your word. Sanctify them through your word. Because it is through the hearing of the word that we can be sanctified. And God says, sanctify them through your word. Because it's truth. In verse 19, he says, I sanctify myself. For them, I sanctify myself. Jesus set his entire life apart to be holy, to be separated, to be used by God for the purpose that God sent him to this earth. And in that, he sanctified himself. We were studying this morning in the Sunday morning workout that even though Jesus was tempted, it says he was tempted in every single way that we are tempted. Every single way. Yet he was without sin. He had a choice. He had a choice to do his Father's will or do his own. It says he was tempted. And in fact, he says, God, if there's any other way, Heavenly Father, if there is any other way that what I'm about to go through, that we can do it another way, because I would prefer not to be beaten and stripped and scourged and have my beard torn out and have a crown of thorns pushed through my skull and be nailed to a piece of wood. If there's any other way, I'd really like to sign up for that. Yet, not my will, because that was his will, that he not go through that. Not my will, but yours be done. When he said, I sanctify myself, he says, I had the choice to become sanctified, to become holy, to become consecrated, to become set apart by God to do what he wants. And so there's that process of God sanctifies, but then we, according to these scriptures, we have a part in that sanctification process. And it comes down to a heart issue. It comes down to whether or not we are going to serve him or we're going to serve our own fleshly desires. Whether or not we are going to obey him or we're going to obey the flesh that wants so badly to be in control. Now, I know you guys don't struggle with this, but every once in a while, I struggle with things that I just want to do. I really want to do that. I know it's wrong, but I just like, oh, I just, Jim in me really wants to do that, especially when I'm in traffic. Real Jim really wants to let that person know how much he thinks of them. And the Holy Spirit in me goes, Jim, that's not me. That's not a good representation of me. And if you drive angry and you're rude and you like to tell people that they're number one, then take the bumper sticker off the car that says, Jesus is my Lord. Strip the little fishy off of there And get rid of it if you're going to drive like that. Because I've been flipped off by people with the nice little Holy Spirit dove on there. Like, oh, that's a great representation of your Heavenly Father. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So there is a part of sanctification that it's up to us. We need to put into action what we believe. James says, you know what? I'll show you what I believe by what I do. A lot of people like to tell you what they believe by what they say. But the real story comes out in what they do. To me, the worst thing a father can say to their kids is, do what I say, not what I do. That I just want to slap every person I've ever heard say that. No, as Christians, we are to walk out what we profess to believe. Now, some of you are going, oh, here we go. Pastor Jim's going to tell me I can't do this and I can't do that and I got to wear this and I got to wear that. And No, I'm not. As we go through this study, I am going to tell you what the Bible says about every single thing that you've ever wrestled with. I am going to mention, the Bible is going to mention, and you know what? I'm not going to shrink back from certain things that are in this Bible that are not very popular in our culture. But I refuse to pull punches when it comes to God's Word. I cannot honestly stand before God as a pastor, as a shepherd, yet be afraid to deal with certain issues that the Bible is very clear on. Now, here's the thing, though. In our culture, we like to grade sin. We like to stick a number next to it. Well, that gossip thing, that's kind of like a level 2 sin. And this other one, that's more of a 3.5. And that's what we do with the ones that we struggle with. Well, it's really not that bad because you know what? Randy struggles with a number 9. That's what we do. We like to assign numbers and then we make ourselves feel better about it because we're at least I'm not a 9 Randy. A sin is a sin. Living in disobedience is living in disobedience. Sanctification is that process of learning how to live in obedience. You have to teach that to your children to be obedient. Because I don't know if any of you have ever raised a toddler. If you let them run your life, they will run your life. But as a parent, it is your job to teach them. No, you don't do that. No, you don't stick a fork in the light socket. Well, you know, little Jimmy, he's got his own feelings, and he gets a little upset when I tell him not to do something. Well, then let him, give him a fork. And if little Jimmy is not too bright, he'll do it again and again and again. But I see little Jimmy's come to me for counseling all the time. Well, you know, why does God hate me so much? I keep sticking the fork in the wall and I get shocked. And I prayed so many times for God to turn off the electricity. And he just won't do it. And I don't understand. Have you heard the verse, thou shalt not stick a fork in the outlet? Well, I just think that's passe. That's so old school. That's Old Testament. I don't believe that anymore. We do that with the choices in our life. Some people are getting zapped on a daily basis and complaining to God about it. And he's like, in my word it says don't go down that road. But I like this road. That's the road I like. I'm comfortable on this road. And God's like, no, don't go down that road because I don't want you to get zapped. Well, it won't happen to me. Just a little zap. That's the sanctification process. It is what God says we need to eliminate from our lives. It is what the things that God says we need to add to our lives. And every single one of us are different where we are in the sanctification process in our own lives. And we do not have the right to look at someone else who is not where we think they should be and judge them by where they are. That is not your job. It's not my job. There is a greater judge than I. And I feel that if you do not have 100% of the information needed to judge, which means you know everything they've ever gone through, everything they've ever been through, everything they've ever said, everything they've ever thought, ever done, then go ahead and judge. But unless you have 100% of that information, don't judge them. We are all where we are. God, it says in the scriptures, God died for you while you were still in your sins. While we were still messy and dirty and stinky and filthy, that's when he died for us. And I've heard many pastors say, but he loves you too much to leave you there. God loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. That's sanctification. That is a process. So as we go through these things, I don't want you to go, oh man, I wish little Jimmy was here. I wish little Jimmy was here to hear this message because he's the one that needs it. No, you ask God, do I need to hear this message? God, is this me? Are you speaking to me about certain things in my own life? I was just speaking with someone this morning, and whenever I go through difficult times, I don't know if you've ever read the story about the Exodus. It took them 40 years to go on a walk that should have taken them about 6 weeks, maybe. 40 years. God would not bring them into where he wanted them to be until they learned in the wilderness not to grumble against him, not to be disobedient. Because if he had led them after 6 weeks over the river and up to Jericho, they would have been annihilated as a nation. Because who in their right mind is going to sit around and let God tell you, well, you know the way you need to take this wall down? You need to just walk around it and scream your head off and dance and sing and play horns. And it's like, are you kidding me? Very few of those people that God led out of Egypt got to see the promised land. Why? Because God had to sanctify in order to keep his nation. There are a lot of things that we go through in our lives on a daily basis that God does not want us to go through. Why? Because he loves us. Why do you discipline your kids? Because you love them. The worst thing you can do for a kid is just let him do whatever he wants. The worst thing God could ever do for us is let us do whatever we want. I've seen Jim doing whatever he wants. It's not pretty. So God says, you know what? Through my word, the word of truth, that sanctifies us. It's useful for what? Correcting, training, rebuking. Those are three words that are not fun. Am I right? If you're working out, you're in training. I know some weird people that really like to work out, or people that love to really, really run. It's like, well, yeah, after 9.5 miles, I just get my second breath. And it's like, what in the world is that? To me, it's not fun. Yet, the Bible says I am to be in training. That does not sound like fun to me. Who loves rebukes? Not me. fact, I don't like them very much at all. But that's what the Word of God does. Who likes to be corrected? So you guys are a lot like me. I don't like being corrected, but that's what the Word of Truth does. That is the sanctification process. Sanctification is, I need to back up just a little bit. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Did we do that one? Kim Brake? Do you remember? Okay. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He sanctifies, so there's two tenses there. He who sanctifies, which means he's doing the work or done the work, is, and then sanctification, the sanctified, there is a process that is happening. That is spiritual growth. You are not growing spiritually if you are not being sanctified on a daily basis. If you are not actively allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work through you, and thank God he gave us the Holy Spirit, because Jim on his own can't sanctify nothing. Not a thing. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, there are certain things that I used to struggle with 10 years ago. They're not even on my radar. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has done some work, and I've allowed him to do some work. And I've taken steps to help him in that process as well. You don't just go in like an MRI machine and get, sanctified. Come out and no problems. I don't struggle with anything. I'm not tempted by anything. No, it is a process. And it is a process that starts with humility. And prayer and seeking his face, which are the first three ingredients in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Actually, it's 1 Chronicles. I was testing you. Sanctification is the process of being set apart for God's work and being conformed to the image of Christ. That's what sanctification is. Sanctification is not instantaneous because it is not the work of God alone. He sanctifies us when we have been justified through faith. He then sets us apart. Then the part of the sanctification of the Holy Spirit and us steps in. It is a process. Does that make sense? It is a process. The justified person is actively involved in submitting to God's will, resisting sin, seeking holiness, and working to be more godly. Where justification is a legal declaration that is instantaneous, sanctification is a process. You're sanctified, or when you're justified by God, you are justified by God. Not because of anything you've done, not because of how good you are, not because of how well you sing or how much time you spend praying. When you're justified, you are justified. And then sanctification kicks in. There are a lot of people who claim to be justified and have no desire to be sanctified. Which makes me wonder about them being justified. When we are justified, then the Holy Spirit begins to work. James says, I'll show you what I believe by what I do. We are to grow. We are to grow in our faith. We contribute to the sanctification through our efforts. We do not contribute to justification through our efforts. Efforts, the sanctification process, that's partly on us. And sometimes that's just going, okay, God, I give you permission to work on me. There are certain things that I used to do that I just used to do them, no problem. As that sanctification process continues, the Holy Spirit begins to go, you know what, Jim? That's not quite right. In fact, that's wrong. That's a sin. What? What do you mean? I've been doing it this way for years. No, it's a sin. And when the Holy Spirit begins to work on those things in your heart, it now becomes a heart issue. Am I going to trust God, or am I going to say, you know what? I don't know. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Because based on what I have witnessed in my own life, I don't believe that's true. Take it up with God. But we can actually squelch the Spirit at work in us if he's been trying to work on us. He is a gentleman. He will back off. He will back off. Unless you're like Paul and he knocks you off your donkey. I'm to the point now where God usually doesn't back off. He whacks me up alongside the head with all those spiritual 2x4s and says, listen, dummy, I love you, but you're wrong. And that is a process. We need, if we are truly justified in God's sight, and I can't answer that for anybody, but if you are truly justified, sanctification is the next step. And get, you know what? God's not going to, God doesn't have a list of all the things he wants to sanctify in you and then just start on with all of them at once. He'll choose one or two things. All right, let's start working on this. All right, let's start working on that. When you have a toddler at home and they're not quite ready to walk yet, and you see that, oh, they're wanting to walk, you don't stand them on their legs and push them. No, you let them kind of pull themselves up, and then you're right there. You're kind of holding them while they wobble, and then that's why the diapers are so cushiony, because they swung, and they get back up. Swung. God's that way with us. He doesn't throw us down the road going, run, Jim, run. It's a process. And toddlers who are walking already shouldn't look at the toddler who's just standing up and steadying themselves on the furniture and going, you know, you really should be walking by now. What is wrong with you? Oh, you only wish you were as good as me. Look at how I walk. You can't even stand up without falling on your diaper. It's none of your business. But we are here together to help one another, to encourage one another, not to push each other down on your diaper, but to help them up. Come on, you can do it. We can do this together. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. But I've said before, and I will keep repeating, sanctification, after you've been justified, is a process that is worked on by you and by God. If you try to sanctify yourself and you are not justified, you have not accepted God's gift of his Son, then all you're doing is behavior modification. You're trying to do or be something that other people say you should be. You're trying to fit in. You start saying the words, start using the terms that Christians use. You do this, you do that, and pretty soon, guess what? You're going to get miserable. You will be miserable because you can't do that on your own. All you're doing is changing your behavior. Sanctification is a process that starts in the heart and works its way out. Sanctification without justification is no change on the inside, got to change everything on the outside so I'll be accepted. People that say, well, I tried Jesus. Those people that tried Jesus tried to alter their behavior based on what other people said they should do or look like or sound like. And without that change in the heart, you will become so frustrated, so bitter. Because guess what? You can't do it on your own. And that's what's so awesome about God is he sanctifies us and he requires us to be actively a part of that sanctification. But he says, I'll give you an advocate. I'll give you someone to help you. And even though I can only be with you, when he's talking to his disciples, I can only be with you at certain times and certain days, and then I get tired and have to go. I'm going to send someone, an advocate, who's going to be with you and live in you. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. Obedience is the main ingredient in sanctification. It's knowing what God wants us to do, and it is becoming conformed to the image of Christ. That's what sanctification is. So it's between you and him. I'm just going to go through the scriptures and pull them out and go, okay, this is what Paul said. You need to add these things. You need to get rid of these things. You need to do this. You need to put on love. And we're going to take a look at all of them. On what the Bible says about them. And some of the things that I am going to have to say, actually what the Bible has to say, are not popular in our culture. Some of them will be called hate speech. God gave us this because he loves us. Because he has a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives. And what we do need to remember are the two greatest commandments as we go through this. Because there's going to be irritation, there's going to be frustration, there's going to be people calling me mean, there's going to be people saying, well, you're not with the times, Jim. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is this, love one another as you love yourself. We keep those two things in mind at the forefront as we go through sanctification. Because I don't know about you, when I get rebuked, when I get corrected, I tend to get a little grumpy. Tend to get a little bitter. You know, I don't take it well from God the first time around, usually. And then he goes, okay, Jim, take another lap. Take another lap through the wilderness, Jim, because where I'm taking you on your next step, you have to get rid of this. And it's a process. And we all go through it as his children. Amen? And guess what? There is not, you know, because people say, well, nobody knows what I struggle with. You know, first of all, get off your pedestal because there are other people that have gone through what you've gone through. You can't say, well, Jesus didn't understand how I'm tempted in this area. Yes, the Bible says, yes, he was. But you know what? We have the Holy Spirit to help us through it. He's not looking for people who are able. He's looking for people who are willing to let him work. Amen? Please stand. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, because it is through your word that we are sanctified. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts that are humble, that we would allow you to change us, to be transformed into the image of your Son. During these difficult series, I pray that we would be in prayer, seeking your face so that we may be sanctified, so that we may have more of your love in us to reach a dying world, to encourage our brothers and sisters in this walk. Lord, help us not to be judgmental, but to love one another. And to love you. I pray these things in your name. Amen. You are dismissed. If you'd like to